Yeah.
Look at this. We got one of our semifinalists or two of our semifinalists.
Right. Also, they took out our ops on the way there, baby.
Okay. Belgium, you hate to see it. Or if you're American, you love to see it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll give you this. So we'll talk about the game or whatever. But it was kind of sad to see a little bit. We're looking at the bracket now, Spain versus France, which feels like a final anyway. So I'm excited about that. But you kind of sad to see the end of Kevin De Bruyne's international career. Look at how many careers have been ended, right? Kevin De Bruyne, probably Lukaku, mm-hmm. Matt Fries. There's so many that are just careers. International careers that are not going to be extended beyond this.
We shall see. Congrats to Spain. Not much. I think the only shock here was that the game was this close, right?
Belgium is so much more stout defensively than I think I even gave them credit for. I mean, it's fine to look like that in the group stage, but to look like that against Spain is pretty impressive.
Very much so. But we are here live immediately after Spain and Belgium wrap up. Welcome to the Cooligans. If you are new here, my name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, what's up? I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Okay, we are in Miami right now for the other quarterfinal. And we, as you know, we've been traveling the country in every U.S. host city. So we taken the temperature of every World Cup host city. And I'll be honest, it's hot. It's hot in Miami.
It is. It's not just hot. It's muggy. It's muggy as hell. It's one of those where it's like, yo, stop touching me. And there's nobody touching you.
Exactly.
It's just one of them cities. I just scream out,
police, police. And nobody's touching me.
Dude, Christian Mace, the air, dude. And okay. Let me tell you something. The air apologized afterwards. Okay. So it was pretty effective.
I'm canceling the humidity, bro. Humidity is canceled.
It's about time people know about you. Okay. All up in my nether regions when nobody asked you to be there, Mr. Humidity. We're looking at the stats here, Spain versus Belgium, a game that went a little bit closer. It was a little bit closer than I expected. But the tail of the tape is pretty clear. Spain had control of it, just couldn't break through Courtois until Courtois broke through Courtois.
He broke his butt, I think, bro. I don't know why. He got a gluteal injury, I guess.
My mother used to threaten me with that all the time. Oye, te voy a romper el culo. And mira, it happened, bro.
Se rompió el culo.
Damn. Wow. Happens to the best of them. In fact, let's find out where my mother was, bro. Where was Daisy?
So this was... I mean, ultimately, you know, you lose Courtois and you have Lamens and you're like, all right. I mean, it's not ideal.
Manchester United's goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I think we'll be all
right. Who had a fantastic season. It's like I saw Graham from Total Soccer Show. He said he had wrote on Blue Sky. He was like, oh, no, we've our world class goalkeeper is injured. Now we have to replace him with a world class goalkeeper. Yeah. So, I mean, it's another terrible mistake, another goalkeeping error, right? The U.S. is quite familiar. But for Lament to come into this game, and obviously the pressure immediately, mm-hmm. you're like, I did not expect to be playing in this game against Spain. And now I have to stay as sharp as the starting goalkeeper was, and he was not. And it's just, I mean, it's like unfortunate, but then who does it fall to? The one person, my man Mariano Rivera.
Yo, the closer.
The closer, Mikel Merino. That's all he does, bro.
It's just, what a knack for finding the goal, dude. It.
My man, he came into the game on the 84th, 85th minute.
I think his skull or his foot are made of magnets, bro. I'm just going to suggest
It took him, I believe, 5 minutes to score against Portugal. Now 3 minutes. To score against Belgium, and it's like even the announcer is like, oh well, this man always has a knack for finding goal, and then that's it. Moments later, that's exactly what
there's there's no commentator's curse when it comes to Mikel Merino. If anything, you're just telling the future. Unai Simón also kind of had a weird game, finding himself out of position a lot.
Sure,
it was a little bit trickier than I expected. Makes me a little bit worried about Spain going forward until Mikel Merino comes in.
Yeah, I mean, look, the credit to Belgium for scoring, the first team to score against Spain at this World Cup. I thought it's very much an easy like a tale of two halves kind of a way to describe this game, because the first half was very, I thought everybody played quite cautious. And then the second half was just like, all right, forget all that. Forget tactics. But now we're going with vibes. I thought
the Belgian coach, Rui Garcia, did a really good job of making substitutes and substitutes that were impactful. Obviously, Kevin De Bruyne and Lukaku coming in. But the kid, the 18-year-old left back, Saiz, man, he was doing his best to stay with Lamine Yamal. And I think did a pretty good job of stunting his attempts at goal. Eventually, Lamine Yamal took over. But I would
say Lamine Yamal did not take over at all.
You don't think so?
No. I thought he was interesting. I thought they defended him quite well. He did not have there were a couple moments he had like decent chances. The shot that he took in the first half that clearly deflected off the defender, but they didn't give a corner kick. I thought that was one of his better moves as far as like to create a real chance. But they didn't really let him take many shots. I mean, he was cooking a little bit, dribbling, doing his thing.
That's kind of what I mean. And, I mean, at the end of the day, he was drawing defenders creating additional space for everyone else. It's just no one else can seem to get
there. He doesn't get an assist. He doesn't get a goal. As a defender, you're like, okay, I did my job, right? Yeah. You did say Kevin De Bruyne coming in, but Kevin De Bruyne started this game and left. In the second. I just wanted to, because I don't want them in the comments and be like, we don't. You know what? We actually don't even watch soccer.
I was legitimately just watching YouTube videos.
Okay.
No, obviously we were watching the game, but I meant Kevin De Bruyne coming out, and then I forgot who he got replaced with, but nonetheless.
Salamakers.
Alexis. Another Alexis.
Yeah.
Another male Alexis.
This is a game. I really, really didn't think Belgium had. We gave our predictions yesterday. I said 2-0, because I didn't think Belgium would even score. And the first half looked like the game I thought I was going to see for two halves of football.
Oh, you thought you were going to see just like a defensive 0-0.
No. Or Spain getting their goals, but maintaining a lot of possession and controlling the game. And the second half. Maybe that there's some cause for concern for Spain, because the game being that chaotic I don't think it necessarily suited them.
That doesn't benefit anybody if you're Spain. But I was impressed with Belgium's ability to get a goal out of nowhere in that first half.
Sure.
De Ketelaere gets the header. Complete. I mean, if you're looking at the momentum chart, there's barely any Belgium on that thing. The first half was mostly Spain dictating possession, dictating the pace of the game, but not really being able to break through their back line. But the Ketelaere does it again. And, you know, when you look at the Ketelaere, obviously someone who is already playing at a very high level, but I think another player that put themselves in the shop window, clearly a very good player and potentially now can maybe steal a little bit of a
move. I wouldn't go that far, but I get it.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I just, I think getting a goal against Spain, the goal he scored on Spain looked pretty much like the goal he scored on the U.S. Reading the first one.
Second half, he goes wide, surprised still influential.
I don't know. I mean, I understand. I get it. Like, but even coming from Atalanta, he's not like some dominant striker in Serie A and all this other stuff. I mean, I think he's a decent striker. That's kind of. So if you think if you want to represent him and you want to get him on the market,
it's about time we really. Okay, you've heard of Rock Nation. How about Bucks Nation? That's when we making money. De Ketelaere scored as many goals at the FIFA World Cup as he did in 31 matches for Atalanta in Serie A.
Again, thank you, producers, for bringing up that.
That's actually a point that is for both of us here, because yes, while he wasn't great at Serie A, I think he showed he has another level.
Okay, just all right. That's a fair interpretation. I would love to see some more, especially at the club level. But I understand. But look, the fact that he kind of created that goal out of nothing. Who did he score the goal? Was it against Cubarsí or Laporte? I forgot who it was. I think it was Cubarsí. Two defenders, very physical defenders, difficult to get around. Usually, not necessarily that they're insanely like physical or strong, but they're just like always, always in the right position to never give you a great opportunity to score. So, credit to the young man.
I just want to say, my good friend, my upstairs neighbor, and he's gay, and that's important for what I'm about to say next.
Okay.
Big soccer fan. He texted me. He said, "Bro, this twink is so powerful." And I said, ha, ha, ha. I said,
wait, he's watching our show?
What's going on? I was like, yo, there's like three in this game. Who are you talking about? And he sent me a picture of the Quetzalates.
Okay, so, power twink.
Yeah. Right. And then he said, tell me you see it. Juan, I see it, my guy.
Okay.
I see it.
All right. So, this show is for everybody,
I guess it's just
bro.
Christian that's not impressed with the Quetzalates for very many reasons, but I had other people are impressed
no,
with the
Quetzalates. I'm threatened by his powerful twink status.
Damn.
Because I thought that was my title and my title alone.
Is it possible he's a glitter bottom? The only way we could find out is by asking.
Okay. Player of the game, I think we both agree here, has to be Mikel Merino.
Yeah, Fabab has it listed as Lamine Yamal, which is interesting.
I don't know.
But we here at Cooligan Sports and Yahoo Sports.
Cooligan's Industries.
Yeah, we're going to go with Mikel Merino because, I mean, yes, once again, 5 minutes
played. He was the player of the game at in the Portugal game as well.
What are you
going to
do,
dude? I mean, my man doesn't need a – he says, I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time.
So speaking of good time, his XG is 0.69.
Let's go. Go.
It's just no matter which way you slice it, my friends, you're having a good time.
This is you got to give the kind of credit where credit is due. He all his teammates are running around all day doing all this stuff, but they can't seem to break down these teams.
And he's like, let me just.
He
show
gets
you,
in the
bro.
Game. Oh my god! He's like, you're gonna make me do this again? Fine.
He's like,
I'll do it myself.
He's like Goodwill Hunting. Comes in, solves the math problem, goes back to cleaning. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I don't have to spend all year doing this.
Okay.
How you like them apples?
No, man. It's like we said, he scored the 3 minutes into this game, and this is where it becomes like a joke for him to get, like, who laments should hold on to the ball, but credit to him for continuing the run.
That was a shot from Cubarsí, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and it was a moving shot. I could understand why Lemens maybe has to parry it.
This is why you can't ever...
You can't parry it right in front of your
You
goal.
Can't shut off, right? You can't... Like, look at the Belgian defenders. If you watch it, especially when you're watching the behind-the-goal view, mm-hmm. And you see the faces of all the Belgian defenders, they all... They're running. They see the shot being taken. And then I forgot who it was specifically, but he's looking at Lemens and he slows down his run as the ball is like arriving to the goalkeeper. And with the peace of mind, he's like, my keeper got it. I don't need to run anymore.
Lemens is here, bro.
Okay. That's Lemens. Okay. Yeah. That's my man's
Damn.
Right there. And he got it. And then when he sees Lemens bobble the ball, he's like, and then boom. Mikel Merino's there.
I think both goals from Spain are defenders just completely stopping. Fact, the shot from who scored the first one? Was it Ruiz?
Fabian Ruiz.
When he scores, three of the Spanish attackers are completely wide open. No one in front of him.
It was a deflection. Courtois got a hand on it,
but still, the defender stopped. And they kept going. So, at the end of the day, I think it's as great as their defending has been.
Maybe
their defensive breakdown is when they gave up goals.
Yeah, maybe there's something psychologically when you do have a very good goalkeeper, a world-class goalkeeper, that you're like, oh, he got it.
Yeah.
And
I didn't even got to work that hard.
And then sometimes he does not.
It's
like
young N'Golo Kante. If you're a midfielder, you're like, I don't really have to track back.
Right.
N'Golo Kante.
He's going to handle that.
He's standing next to me and he's over there at the same time. Why don't we take a look at some comments? What are y'all saying in the chat
on YouTube? But what's good, everybody? All right,
we got some tweets actually.
Oh, this is great. R9, this is Aaron West, the homie. R9 Merino's not real. He can't hurt you. R9 Merino, there he is.
He needs to get this haircut. He needs to get that R9 haircut.
Mikel Merino, the second he subs in for Spain. That's it, right there.
This is a great video.
This is a classic. Yeah,
and then he pops a three. If I'm not mistaken. Oh no, he
dunks it. Yeah, this is And then
the hookah. Mikel Merino, this World Cup, 90+1 minute winner in the round of 16, 88 minute winner in the quarterfinals. Clutch.
Dude. Yeah, man. McCummer, what are we seeing?
So you put it over the clutch. The third pedal, my friend.
Got it. There it is.
Beautiful. Shouts to all my three pedal drivers.
Clutch player of the year. Him and Jalen Brunson, bro.
Lemans under the bright lights. Oh, damn. Wow. Oh, Damon Louise.
We got Henri at Red Bull. Hilarious. Lemans for Spain. Andre Onana is there.
Damn.
Yeah, dude. I mean, look, he made it. It was just a terrible mistake.
Courtois broke his Belgian waffle. France was coming for you. Viva la España.
Dude, not surprising.
France, we're coming for you. Belgium down.
See how it feels?
Damn. Yamal has been kind of mediocre all tournament.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He's not getting the goals and assists. He got obviously one goal. But he's not. But it, like,
can
to
we just
his,
make mention of the power he generates with his left foot?
To his credit, there aren't many players at this World Cup that are immediately doubled as soon as they get the ball. Immediately. And to the point
he's getting the Bukayo Saka treatment.
Yeah, to the point where I was thinking, like, man, maybe Lamine should, like, move. Maybe switch sides with Nico Williams. Maybe try, like, just get more in the middle of the pitch, because he's just out wide. And maybe the positive is that now he does attract two defenders, so now it creates some space.
That's why I think he was
clearly an important player, but not necessarily with like what he does on the ball.
It's the end product, isn't there? Yeah. But that's a lot of they're stacking a lot of players in front of him.
Mikel Mamba mentality, Marino subs on, barely touches the ball, scores, leaves. He's like, bro, I gotta go.
Please.
Doesn't even break a sweat.
I'm doing 90 minutes. I can do this in 5. Like,
0.69 XG nice.
Marino more like Marie. Yes.
There it is.
I love it.
Okay. Yeah, man. Look. Let's do some stock up and stock down with on this team. On both teams we can do. I mean, stock up immediately, I think. I'm trying to think of who had it. Like, I really liked Baena again. I really liked
Baena was good. I think Ferran Torres was good when he came in.
Fabian Ruiz also did well. I mean, I guess that I'm gonna just go stock up Lamine Yamal, because mainly, look, he did not score, he did not assist, but he
told me you didn't agree with me when I said he had a good game, but you're gonna go stock up on him.
Because there's improvement there. But yeah. I did like you know, he came into this World Cup with an injury. They were being cautious with him, and he looked the most like himself. Especially in that first half. He was for what reason did they have Jeremy Doku defending Lamine Yamal? I have no idea. That's not a good idea. Doku is a very good player, cannot defend to the degree of especially a player like Lamine Yamal.
Lamine cooked them in that first half too. Yeah. There was a couple wild moments where I know Doku's like, I don't really show any emotion, but I'm going to get you back. I promise you.
Yeah, and it's also, I'm looking at the Belgian lineup, and even just the fact that Doku didn't start in the game against the U.S., De Bruyne didn't start. It's like, are they better without these players? Is that a real thing? Or was tactically and the strategy was, you know, that would be a better lineup against the U.S.? Or is it? There's also part of me that was like, yo, the disrespect a little bit of like, damn, I wish we did play against Doku and De Bruyne.
Yeah.
Maybe that's would have been the better scenario for the U.S. But yeah, Lamine Yamal and had like two or three like highlights of just cooking Jeremy Doku, and clearly that wasn't the right move. But then also on the other end, Jeremy Doku did not have a good game either. So that could also probably be my stock down.
What's What's the center back's name on? Is it? Yeah, Ngoy.
Yeah.
Man, he was great.
He was great
all game.
Yeah.
I'll give him my stock up, but we spoke a lot about stock up. Why don't we go stock down? I'm going to go Unai Simón. Just a little bit more erratic than I sort of expect.
Second half was a little crazier.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, chaotic. That's going to bite you. It's going to bite you in the Courtois if you take that to France, you know what I mean? Or take that to the game against France. I think Unai Simón, I think, is an incredible goalkeeper, and I think he has all the capabilities to be, you know, a World Cup winner. But man, scare me a little bit in that second half, just completely leaving your spot. There was a good chance that Belgium scores a second consecutive goal, like they did against Tim Ream and Matt Fries, with Matt Fries leaving the box. So a little worrisome.
Sure. I mean, I think for just even conceding a goal for Spain is they were all a little bit in shock. It's the first. I mean, was 6 games into the World Cup before you give up your first goal. There was a little bit of like, you know, you made me bleed my own blood. Yeah. You know, like, out there, this doesn't happen to me. So they held on. They had the composure, but it's like at this level, it's like the pressure is so high, and you can see a goalkeeper like Lemens makes that error because of he's just like not. He's just not That's mentally prepared. Down? No, my stock down is Jeremy Doku. Lemens is like, you can't. I'm not even.
I said Unai Simón.
I know. Yeah, I'm just saying, but just goalkeeping when it comes to just that mental fortitude in these games, Lemens was under, like, again, not expecting to start, gets in the game.
Coming in as a sub, as a goalkeeper against Spain.
It's a lot. So, I mean, like, I don't want to necessarily,
belabor the point.
No, not belabor the point, but not hold them too accountable, because it's a shot from 30 yards out. Like, every goalkeeper would want that situation of this is not a high XG shot, I should hold on to this ball.
You see Mikel Merino running at you, and suddenly the XG goes up to 0.69.
We're looking at Jeremy Doku, and
44% dribbles is a bit surprising, because that's his thing, and he uses that to really put defenders and sometimes the entire back line on their back heels. So the fact that it was only 44% is surprising. Also, only 2 crosses connected with one of them.
Yeah, this game, I felt like Belgium didn't even prioritize that too much, they also didn't have a lot of possession, didn't have a lot of opportunities to even cross the ball. I mean, the fullbacks for Spain, I mean, at their clubs, I wouldn't say that people see them as like top tier fullback. I mean, Cucurella,
yes, for sure. But especially with the move to Real Madrid, I think you're going to see even better.
But
from him.
Pedro Porro, not necessarily. He's like a good fullback, but I think for Spain, both of them and that back line, they just kind of have things on lock.
I think I might disagree on that. I think Pedro Porro is an incredible fullback. I think he's okay. I think he's done enough to not just be like a generic. You know what I mean?
Or he plays on Tottenham, and they gave up. They concede quite a bit.
Let me tell you something. When it comes to Tottenham, you can't blame just one guy.
Okay,
unless he's at the top.
So,
why don't we talk a little bit about Spain versus France? Because to me, this is going to be basically a final in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, I do.
Or in the semifinals.
I feel like it's going to be a final. Is it going to be a World Cup final or a Champions League final? You know what I mean? Because that's what I'm worried about. Champions League final are historically very dull,
boring,
very boring. No team, they go there to not lose, and it's usually not the most entertaining product. So these two teams that, like you said, like this could be very much be a final. They happen to be on the same side of the bracket. It's not too much of a surprise. They both won their groups. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. You still have to favor France because they seem to. Obviously, we just saw the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. They never have any problem figuring things out and figuring out whatever problems that any team gives them. And Spain are going to be a different look, but then it's just. When you compare the front three of Spain to the front three of France, you're going to just go with the front three of France. So I just think they're going to be outscored, Spain are.
Yeah, and I don't give Spain much of a shot against France. Doesn't mean Spain's not going to have moments, but it just to me, France, again, hasn't really looked like they've even gotten out of it. At this point, I'm going to stop saying first gear. I'll say let's go second or third gear.
Okay.
And I just feel like it's going to be not easy, but it's going to be a fun one for France. And I can just see the final being France versus Argentina yet again.
Yeah, it's feeling that way. I mean, I've been also seeing this has been just another aspect of the World Cup, but like obviously ticket prices have been a big thing, but prices go up and down in the resale market. And shout out to Danny, Travel Football Fan, kind of talking about when there's an upset in certain results, the next round's tickets go drop in price dramatically. So, like, let's say if Norway do win against England, the tickets, the ticket prices go down. They will go down quite a bit. So, the obviously, like, FIFA, quote unquote FIFA, they want that Argentina England. So now the conspiracy aspect.
But wait, why would FIFA care what the resale value?
Oh, come on! they have nothing to do with that, right?
It's weird.
That's a whole other story. But yeah, anyway. So as far as when we look at the other quarters, it's gonna be a fascinating. You know, like we kind of do want that. I think fans would love to see England, Argentina, but obviously it's not going to be that easy. It's not set in stone. So we shall see, because Argentina have been a little bit iffy in some of these matches.
I think they'll be fine. peptides. Why don't we go to some of the comments? Let's see what you guys are saying while we're over here just yipping away.
Yeah. All right.
Michael Oliver obeying his orders.
Dude, I had.
He put his hands up like he got arrested. He's like,
posted
my bad.
About this. I was like, this is a clear yellow, impeding, stopping a promising attack.
The announcer said the same thing. Yeah, he needs to give himself a yellow for that one.
A weird situation. But you know, this is one of those things. You know how when referees play advantage and they the goal happens because they played advantage, there's no prouder moment. What was the other goalkeeper? The referee that was like, celebrating when he played advantage.
Oh, I remember.
I hate that I'm forgetting his name, but you know who I'm talking about. Bald dude in England, in the Premier League. But Michael Oliver was like, he was doing the like, I can't celebrate against my former team.
Yeah, it was like, hey man, that's my bad.
That's on me, bro.
No, y'all right. Y'all right.
You can't be in that position.
Luis de la Fuente said, we're on par with France. Belgium are a tough side too, but as you saw, it was actually a match we could have won more comfortably. Mikel Merino and the others, we've got some brilliant players.
Yeah,
he's been hitting the gym too. This dude is jacked all of a sudden.
Okay, all right.
He looks like The Rock.
Okay.
La Piedra, bro.
Lamine Yamal has never lost to Kylian Mbappe in single elimination matches. He won the Euro semis, one Supercopa final, one Copa del Rey, one Nations League semis, one Supercopa final. That's an interesting stat. Okay?
I'm starting to feel a little iffy about my, my choice there.
So
it's just a lot of stats there. No dancing from Belgium, go home, boys.
It would have been fun if they continued doing the Trump dance anyway.
Yeah. I did like the dance. I co-signed the dance. I don't think Argentina makes it to the final.
Look, we got a hot take in the chat.
Michael Raymond, what do you know? did the check to the refs not clear?
Okay, so this is a look, when it comes to who's gonna make it to that semifinal, it feels like the inexperienced teams should get done by the experienced teams,
right?
So you,
I still think Norway, I think Norway wins tomorrow. And in fact, I posted that since all the Latinos are out, I'm going for France or Norway.
Okay.
And all my English homies were like, yo, what the hell, bro?
Man, how dare you?
Yo, what? First of all, there was a couple of people who said, like, you forgot Argentina. No, I didn't. and by the way, that wasn't an Argentinian person who wrote that, because they're like, thank you for not calling us Latinos. But looking here at Norway, I purposely think that they do a great job. And I know that a lot of my English friends were upset with me for not wanting England to win. And I said, hey, it's not your fault. It's the fan base. I love the players on England. I mean, I think Haaland, Sørloth, Odegaard, we've talked about these players before. I think they're having a great, Nusa's having a great tournament. You know, and again, a lot like Mikel Merino, I think Haaland can do it on his own. You know, you give him the ball, he doesn't have to work 90 minutes. He just walks around. He makes sure he gets himself in the right spot. And then eventually he just does something magical. And maybe that can carry him through another round. I'm thinking it will. But the English fan base, I can't let you think you're as good as you already think you are.
I mean, they don't really even think. They want other people to support them, because they, in their heart of hearts, they don't fully believe that. They don't have the faith. They don't have the way Americans are, like, the U.S. is gonna win this World Cup. Like, just they don't operate with that level of delusion,
right? So imagine they did win.
But if but they
it
can't.
It would unlock the horrific confidence we do not need from them. And then look at this team.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't agree with Alexis, and I think England has to be favored heavily here.
I do also agree that they are going to be heavily favored, but I still think
I mean, this expect 11 is interesting because I don't with Dan Burn and Konta, I think is Gehi not fully fit. I mean, there's a lot of Gehi has a hamstring injury, so that's a bit of a concern.
Dan Burn does one thing incredibly well, and that's be tall and not be willing to put his head on
but
anything.
But I would favor Gehi over Burn or even Konta against Erling Haaland. But these players are so familiar with Erling Haaland. I said it yesterday. I would be so surprised if Haaland scores enough to outscore this England offense. I mean, Norway. They did a fabulous job against Brazil,
forgetting the English ability to get in their own way.
That sure, but we can't necessarily expect or predict that. I mean, this is they should just like the game against Mexico, where everybody was concerned about the altitude and can they handle it, whatever. And then, but really, everyone kind of the foundation of anyone's argument was like the quality of England should be more than enough for Mexico. And I would kind of just say the same about Norway. And we saw them play in person. They made Brazil look like they were playing an academy team. It was unbelievable. That's more of a criticism of Brazil than it is praise for Norway, but they still did it. This is a team that is, I think, punching above their weight. They obviously, and I think the person carrying the team by far is Erling Haaland. But I think this is England is just too tough a task for outside of even at the striker position, you could make a debate why you would pick Harry Kane over Erling Haaland. But
Jed Spence, did you see the clip? Jed Spence did. They asked Jed Spence, like, have you ever seen anyone like Erling Haaland? It's like, what does he do that's so great? He goes, he finishes. And you go, have you ever seen anyone that great? He's like, Harry Kane.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, bars. But I'm not going to sit here and say, Harry Kane isn't a great striker. I think he's generational. I don't think you're giving enough credit to Haaland understanding a lot of these players because he plays with them week after week, and Martin Odegaard understanding all these players because he plays against them all week after week. So absolutely think England's going to have opportunities, but for some reason, I've just been right about Norway all along, and I think they go one more game here. The player that you absolutely has to have a great game, it's not just Erling Haaland, because Erling Haaland's going to do Erling Haaland. I think Martin Odegaard needs to continue, especially if he's going after against defenders that may understand him a little better. He needs to continue this sort of change of pace we've seen from him with wearing a Norway shirt versus an Arsenal shirt, being a little bit more influential, a little bit more pulling of the strings, not just camping out in the right half space, sort of going out and finding the game, making sure the game comes to him, getting as many touches on the ball, letting the entire attack go through him.
Okay. For me, it's another player on England, and it is the goalkeeper. I think Jordan Pickford is going to face...
Look at us both picking players from our favorite teams.
he's going to have to face... I don't know if it's going to be necessarily a lot of shots, but it's going to be some really, really difficult ones. And, he was criticized in which... Was it the game against... Ghana, where he gave up the goal at the near post. I forgot who it was against. But where some, it was like, oh, he should have probably stopped that one. It was like at the near post. That was against Congo. So this is, I think he's going to, the problem is that Haaland has like cooked him a lot in the Premier League, and he just really can't have a bad game. And it's going to be, a lot more kind of responsibility or pressure on the defenders to make those chances as limited as possible. So
we'll see. It's a much more familiar against each other type game. And for me, if I had to give you a final result, what I think is going to happen, I feel like it's going to be a Norway. I want to say 1-0, so I'll go 2-1
for Norway. Okay, yeah. I'm going to say 3-1 England. I think the offense is too much for Norway, and they are not you know, a team that's like as like uncoordinated as Brazil was. So I think Norway's going to have a much tougher time in that game. But we shall see. What's it? The other quarterfinal? Argentina, Switzerland. We'll talk about that in a second. But
let's take anyway. Go ahead. comments, tweets, comments, what are you guys saying
comments,
on the
questions, advice.
We should do some Q&A.
Yeah, why not?
That would one be a day fun we'll one. Doku when he gets the ball.
I thought he was. You know, had some positive touches.
Yeah, this dude's pretty good. Yeah. I don't know. You're not really cooking Doku,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, I mean, I get him on my team, dog. It's
for real. Show me a little something.
Erling Haaland says, England fans should be confident about advancing to the World Cup semifinals ahead of their match with Norway. Oh, he's playing games with y'all, dog.
He keeps doing this.
I
love it. He's having a great World Cup off the pitch.
He did
man.
This. I think it also highlights the strategy for Norway in basically giving up that game against France in that third game. They were like, "Hey, we could win the group, but why exhaust ourselves?" Because mm-hmm. I think that's what ended up them being like healthy and sharp for those knockout games. So yeah, we'll see. And he said the same thing before that game against France.
They're going to win the whole thing anyway.
Yeah.
Lamine Yamal said, "I think that if France has to fear anyone, it's us, as we're the ones who have knocked them out before."
Damn, bro.
Damn. I'm the one who knocks.
Thibaut Courtois, "I felt a lot of pain in my quadriceps.
I've been there before. It's very painful.
But I had no problem with staying in goal, though, only for long kicks."
In the end, the manager decided to take me off. "This is no problem as the team goes above everything." That's kind of like that. I respect the decision of my manager, even if that decision was to completely F up.
Right. To throw away a World Cup.
Yeah. Which is fine. That's his choice. Okay. Hey.
I had nothing to do with that. I'm just saying.
I mean? I wouldn't have done it because I wanted us to stay in the World Cup longer. But you know how the manager goes. His job.
The England fan base and Spurn fan base are the same. Okay.
You just can't let them be powerful. It's 4 years. That's a problem.
Gahey trained today, so that's a good sign.
Okay. Gahey over Danburn. Danburn is a great sub anyway. So England haven't really played anyone that good yet.
Okay, hold on.
Actually, hold on.
What are we doing? They've been down in goals. It was tied 2-2 against Croatia. I don't know.
Croatia is a scary team in a knockout tournament, like, but I wouldn't call them great.
It's like saying
Mexico, I wouldn't call
it's
great
like saying
either.
Argentina haven't played anybody good, but they've been at the knife edge of getting kicked out of the World Cup.
I have a feeling I feel like the England squad is going to be tested in a way that they have not been tested yet. So, regardless of whether you think the level of competition is up to par with who they've, with other clubs or other nations and who they face, I just don't think England have been tested like they're going to be tested against Norway.
Okay.
Christians picking Pickford, shocked.
Hey, all right.
You know what? It was cool. I remember when you looked his name up, you're like, who is this guy?
So I missed
Argentina versus Switzerland.
Look, obviously, I can already tell you the MVP of this match is going to be Ruben Vargas. De lo mio.
MVD, the most valuable Dominican.
No, you know what's been exciting about Ruben Vargas, and obviously if anyone's not aware of his Dominican background, you're going to learn today.
Why else would Christian be not only saying his name, but saying it that way?
But Ruben Vargas getting the game-winning penalty against Colombia has made Dominican Facebook, because it's even my mom is forwarding me, like, do you know this guy? Have you seen this guy?
Facebook.
So it's popping up on feeds that get sent to you and stuff like that.
Well, he's on the bench here in this
He has started every game, but he's been I think very, very key. I think he probably doesn't start this game, and
I don't think the results are going to be different whether he starts or not. I think this is going to be not an easy game for Argentina, but I think Argentina have the quality and the capability to get past Switzerland.
You could have said the same thing about Egypt, and look at what happened. I think if Switzerland decide to make this
game... What did happen with Egypt?
They were down 2-0.
Yeah, but they still lost, right?
Yes, Egypt. They did. But yeah. I mean, it's you would imagine Argentina,
even if Argentina has a couple guys in red, black, and white stripes on the pitch,
they do not want to be in that position. And I can look. We've already seen it a few times. It could totally happen again. Switzerland are a much more like well oiled team. Mm-hmm. Tactically, they're not as just you know, like they're not playing with vibes and chaotic. And then they also have. Players, they have a diverse a sort of player pool of like players with like experience in Granit Xhaka and
oh
composure.
Yeah, no, they're not going to go away easy by no stretch of the imagination, especially with Granit Xhaka there.
Right. But then they also have like Mbolo, who's just a beast up front. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very difficult to defend against. And so this, I think this game is going to be quite physical, especially up top. Argentina going to do what they do, which is, I think, make the game a little bit messy. No pun intended. Obviously, you know, maybe if a soft foul, you go down, do the thing, you work with the refs a little bit. I think it's going to be a little bit of that. So I think we could see a similar game or a closer game than like, you know, like that it was against Egypt. So
I don't know. I mean, looking at the expected 11, Tagliafico back in. For Argentina, just there's too much quality on this pitch. Lionel Scaloni, I just think kind of understands what he needs to do to get this team to tick. Even if they're down 2-0, they make the right adjustments. The team doesn't give up. I still say they're looking around and they do not want to be the ones to let Messi down. They just do not want to be on that pitch. If Messi loses.
Sure, but they find a way to disappoint him for the first, you know, 60, 70 minutes of games.
Maybe that's just what they need. You've seen those comics that like to dig a hole for themselves when they first get on stage and work their way out of it. Maybe that's how they keep it fun, you know?
Okay, play. Live on the wild side a little bit.
Have an argument with your man to make sure he still loves you.
Okay. You know, I want to see how much you care. Yeah. You know, you're not going to fight for me.
Wow. You're going to let me see all this disrespectful stuff about your mother? Wow. You know? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Who was that? What is it? That this twink is very powerful. Who's this powerful twink? Bro, this twink is so powerful. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. I didn't hear that again. What did
Sorry. We're talking twink talk.
Carter. Say that again.
Key players. There's a guy named Lionel Messi. Look out for him.
I've heard of him.
He is special. But honestly, the reason why you look out for him, not just because what he could do with the ball, but the way the rest of the team seems to want to be there, be the reason that he's smiling. It's kind of hard to explain. But I thought maybe after the last World Cup that would go away, but it's been every game in this World Cup, you see it. Everyone's like, we're doing good, right, Messi? Like, you're happy? Are you excited? Are you still having a good time? And I think that's just going to continue. So, I mean, as dumb as it is, which player to look out for, key player, I think Lionel Messi, not just what he does when he has the ball, but the way everybody wants to rally around him.
I'm going to go to a Swiss player, not Ruben Vargas, but I'm going to say, as far as a key player, or at least some of that really needs to have a good game, is Emmanuel Akanji. He missed his penalty against
when
Colombia.
You end the game crying, that's not a good thing.
He missed his penalty, so but still a great defender. Obviously was at Man City for a while, and won title, so lots of experience. It is going to be a tall task with the amount of like attacking talent that Argentina have. But he is he's the first player I'm looking at. Like, yo, can you hold your own? Can you compose yourself? Can you do this? Because it's going to be a long day. But we've seen the way Cape Verde played Argentina. We saw the way Egypt played Argentina. So it's like the teams that you expect to get dominated are not being dominated, and these center backs are working together to keep Messi from scoring, keep Argentina. Obviously, it didn't work out ultimately, but they did a fantastic job for large portions of that game. And this is now a UEFA side, and let's see if they can show some of that heart that two African sides showed.
We shall see.
Argentina. All right, we got any comments? I think anything else? I think we got that.
Yeah,
tweets. Let's look at some tweets. And
what are we calling them? X's.
X's.
Some posts.
Let's get Alexis's X's on screen.
You'd have to do a lot of research to find him. I've been with my wife for a long time. This Belgian kid gives us a generational meme.
Sure. It's the opposite of Lamine Yamal's brother.
Yeah. That is like cartoon crying. World Cup is clearly rigged for Argentina again. Quarterfinals were Switzerland, and all their players are injured because of the flag.
It's also funny because I have a Switzerland jersey that I got from Puma, and my son saw it and he said, "Dad, are you going to the hospital?" He asked, which is just like for a 3-year-old to like be that aware of it. I'm like, "Oh, this is adorable." Right. So, okay. What do we got next? Actual footage of every penalty run up in the World Cup. Let's go.
Oh, man. All right. This is actually a lot closer than I thought.
Remember, because we've had some classics, and maybe you put them in the chat, but remember the Italy's Simone Zaza?
Zaza.
The classic.
And then he skies it.
He skies it. So we've had some really poor penalties, unfortunately, whether that's penalty kicks or even just penalties during the game.
The biggest rivalries of the World Cup, Messi, Ronaldo, Ancelotti, Endrick, Haaland, Gabriel, Ronaldo fans versus reality, and Mbappe versus a Paraguayan senator. How well he handled that situation is amazing, man. Sure. I love the statement he gave.
Belgium can do their Trump dance all the way to LAX. Okay.
Damn,
okay,
Maximiliano Bretos.
Okay. Lamine Yamal peaked at 16. We are already seeing his decline at 18.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But you know what? He wouldn't be the first.
All right, man. Right.
I feel you, brother.
Thibaut Courtois. Yeah, he was not happy with Lamens right there.
He went from crying right away, like tearing up, to getting angry. It was pretty funny how that worked out. Argentina versus Switzerland, a.k.a. white versus even whiter. Damn.
But you don't know which side is which.
Yeah.
I actually, Switzerland had a plenty of black players.
Yeah, they actually enjoy immigrants.
they welcome it, okay?
Dear Waffles of Belgium, now that you played a real team in Spain, you got spanked, losers. I love it.
I love all the emojis. Hey, you know what?
Waffle emoji never gets used this much.
Not enough. Switzerland should threaten to release the identity of those World War II bank accounts if Argentina don't get in line.
Somebody said the winner of this game gets to keep, that guy's gold reserves.
Yeah, they're going to release the Panama Papers.
No, damn. How do I get my name on that list?
Hilarious.
Shouts to everyone hanging out in the chat. Yeah, you guys are absolutely incredible.
Yeah, if you haven't hit like and subscribe on YouTube, go do that now. And you can follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans. But let's wrap up.
Let's go. You know what? For final thoughts, let me ask you this. What grade, on a scale of 1 to 10, what grade would you give this World Cup? Just the games, not all the other stuff.
Just the games?
I said on a scale of 1 to 10, and our producer just said A+, which is
he's not listening to this.
You
show.
Got a D, dog.
Just the games. I'm gonna say like an 8.
Nah, I'm at 8.5 to 9.
Okay,
it's been fun. A lot of upsets. You can't go wrong. I mean, even like Cape Verde's run. Curacao had that one great game. Dude, I've been loving it. 8.5 9.
I like that there's...
If you're in the chat, drop the number. What number do you give
it? I like that it's been, especially in the knockout rounds, that it's been closer. You know, they added more teams, but the games have still been really competitive. There hasn't been any massive, massive upset. Mm-hmm. It's hard to you say like just the games and not the other stuff, but the other stuff. I mean, if I literally include all the other stuff, it's probably like a 6 or
which is
a 5.
Why I said just the games. I'm just thinking about the actual, and forget the hydration breaks, which suck. And thank God, more people are watching Telemundo. But Jorginho has one of the worst PK run ups,
but he makes them.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
I used to hate Wayne Rooney's. Remember, like the hop.
Right,
and then Jose Martinez also did that.
Very not odd a fan. One.
I've really enjoyed the matches, and there's always a lot of other.
Yeah, they have been fun, and we haven't had as many like blowouts as we thought we would. There've been obviously Germany Curacao.
There's been a couple of them.
Germany,
Netherlands
Canada,
knocked out
Qatar.
Early.
There haven't been that many U.S. Belgium. That was the only So,
counts.
So, but they haven't that many. So that part of it has been good because, you know, I love how competitive it's been. And again, the moments that we've had so far, we Cape Verde against Argentina, Egypt against Argentina, even though it didn't work out for those teams. I mean, the matches themselves, the emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. So we've had plenty of it. And I would even also say, and, you know, some people don't agree, or some agree or disagree, like the U.S., they obviously sputtered out and it was a poor end. But it's still, I saw improvement in that World Cup. I saw two wins. I thought there was like there were moments of a real cohesive team. And it leaves me in a bit of a more positive place for the men's soccer program here in the U.S. But
okay. I don't agree. But
it's a whole other thing. Yeah. All right. All right. Well, let's wrap up there, everybody. Thank you. Somebody said why? Well, why don't you?
Well, agree? I mean, I kind of explained it, but in the last show, but you know, there was marketed improvement. Yes, we weren't sitting back. We weren't defending. We were taking it two teams. Sure. Again, not the level that I thought we would reach, not the level that I expected that we were reached. And just how hard we capitulated against Belgium tells me that maybe there was a bit of a mirage. Maybe it was a bit of a tactical shift that just surprised some people. And it wasn't exactly you know, this sort of going up the rung of the ladder. You know, I really thought that the U.S. would be the kind of team now that could play with the type of teams that Mauricio Pochettino would be managing otherwise.
That's fair.
It wasn't that. And I walk away from this way more sadder and with a lot more questions. And you know what? This is MLS's worst nightmare because before there were so many MLS players in the World Cup and they're all doing well. And look at how many of them are getting even chances on the U.S. team and so on and so forth. And now they walk away with more questions as to why is our development stalled? Why didn't we do better? Why couldn't we even look remotely ready for Belgium? You know, we have this great manager. It must be the players. It must be the development. Every reel I've seen since that game has been, look how much it costs to train a child in soccer here versus in other countries. And this is yet again, and now another 4 years of MLS and everyone who takes advantage of the pay for play system and everyone else who makes money. And I know you're going to say MLS has academies that are free. I can already hear you typing it out in the chat. They're free and blah, blah, blah. That's 17,000 children. 25 million kids play soccer in this country, and the kids that aren't getting looked at are kids that come from areas that Christian and I grew up or look like Christian and I, maybe not me, because why would you bring the fat kid into the academy? Who knows? But truth be told, it's like we're once again trying to play against these great European nations and these great South American nations with just a small subset of the children who cared enough while their parents could afford to pay. And I know that's not every single child. I know Tim Weyer talks about it, you know, how difficult it was for him growing up and stuff, and it's not everybody, but again, it's this tiny subset of the kids that could actually make a difference in this country. And now that's the conversation for the next 4 years. It's not the progress that we look like we made against Paraguay. It's not the progress that would look like we made against Australia. It's the fact that when it came to an actual nation, when it came to a footballing nation, someone who develops their players quote unquote the right way, which I believe we absolutely looked pedestrian. We looked like we were completely out of the moment. We looked like we shouldn't have even been there. And you know what? Cape Verde never looked like that in any of the games they went to. Curacao never looked like that in any of the games they played in. America did. And now that's for the next 4 years. The conversation is, why? How does that change? And you know what? It's going to get muddled and muddled and muddled. In the next 4 years, we're going to have to start this conversation again. And you guys got Alexi Lalas saying, yeah, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We're doing it the right way. So you wanted to know why I disagree? Because of all that.
I love this comment. Riverside Grove 94 said, moments of a real cohesive team until we played a real cohesive team.
Oh, that's bars. Riverside
I mean, Grove. It's look at how Belgium looked against Spain. I mean, it's
that, what are you that, talking about? I would have walked away proud if that was how the U.S. played against Belgium.
I'm just saying that they Belgium looked like the U.S. did against Belgium. That's still in that first half.
I would still be this upset if Spain had beat us up like that.
It's fine. As upset as you want to be. I'm not saying you can't be.
We looked horrific.
I'm not saying anything positive about the game against Belgium. Okay,
if not for the goalkeeper mistake, Belgium could have held up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you take it into extra time? I mean, this is,
yeah.
Personally, I think Belgium played very well.
If my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a car. Yeah, we all know.
She'd be a bike. 8 out of 10 off the strength of Cabo Verde vibes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got people that are like in the tournament.
Okay. Eight. We got eight.
Everyone's kind of in the eight.
Okay. Are they rating us or?
Okay. Ooh, we gotta see. Okay, we're off the charts.
All right, folks. This is. I mean, the
we're off the charts and we're on the floor.
The meter is broken because we've been hit with 69. All right, we got obviously. I think there's what, 4 remaining World Cup matches or whatever.
Crazy. It's almost over.
We will take time to reflect after it's over as well. But like we said, we are in. We are in Miami, and the game between it's Argentina,
England
is the one in Miami, but those are the 2 remaining quarterfinals, so be on the lookout for those reaction shows, and obviously Cooligans Daily Live noon Eastern for the remaining days of this World Cup. So
thank you so much for hanging out with us. We've been doing as much content for you guys as possible, so if you could, the way you help us out, you don't have to spend any money, you don't gotta do nothing crazy, just hit the subscribe button, hit the like button while you're at it, and hit the bell so you know when we have next. And if you got a hype just sitting there and you're not using it, send it to us.
Exactly. And if you do want to give us money, join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercool.
You could do that too. You could do all the things we just mentioned.
Behind the scenes of what this tour has been like and what it's like on the road during the World Cup. We've been having a great time doing those episodes. Join us there as well. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out. We always appreciate it. Y'all are the best. What's today? Friday? Saturday? Today's Friday, yes.
Yeah.
So, hope you enjoy your weekend.
I am fried.
We've been talking a lot for like 40 days now. Yeah. So, all right, everybody. Thank you so much. Peace.
Love you guys.